When you come into a situation like this, you don't know any of the people. It's a totally different region of the country probably for you. What sorts of things can you accomplish in such a short amount of time?
It's an amazing thing, just being a jazz musician, because no matter where you go, it could be anywhere on the whole globe, even people that don't speak English, we all speak music.
Yeah.
So that's it's a pretty special thing, like a magical thing. You know, these kids that I've already been dealing with the last couple of days having rehearsals, and they all know the same terminology, the same tunes, the chords and the melodies and the jazz speak that I do. So immediately we just kind of become friends and be able to work together really simply.
And how much can you, in such a short time, challenge them with the material? I know that, Mark, you've been working a little bit on the songs. You guys kind of pick that stuff ahead of time.
Sure.
But when you get here, is it kind of, let's see how far we can push the envelope and still have a great concert?
I think so. I mean, it's nice that Mark is so well-versed in everything, and he's really prepared these kids with their material. So that's cool. I come into it, I kind of see how they're doing, and then here and there, I just hear a tiny thing or two that we could fix, or maybe rehearse a little harder. But I like your idea of pushing the envelope. I think I need to do that a little bit
sorry.
More. Tell these guys to look out.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, that was just warm-up. Let's get to the meat. So what is the biggest challenge, I guess, in doing something like this?
Boy, today it's the snow. No, I don't think that's such a big challenge. I don't know about that. The biggest challenge might just be to try to see every student for who they are in such a short time. So, I mean, it happens pretty fast. If you watch somebody play an instrument, you actually kind of get to know their soul, I think. Okay. And so I think there are things that I see in some of the players that resonate with me. And so maybe it gives me ideas about how to better connect with them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that might be the challenge, to actually get to know people well enough to really help them in this short amount of time.
That's great. Do you do this around the country, work with large ensembles that you just get introduced to the day before?
it's a cool thing. It always goes pretty smoothly, and it's always fun. It's fun to see the different parts of the country. I feel bad for saying it, but I didn't know there was an Upper Peninsula until I got to it, pretty much. But now I know so many things. I've seen the ore docks. Today I learned what a wind sled was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She hasn't had a pasty yet, though, so we're going to take care of that.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah. I want to see and try it all.
You need to stay longer.
I think
a lot of great stuff
might happen if it keeps snowing, huh?
There we go. Yeah, it might, yeah. When did you get, so what lit you about jazz? When did you get into music and jazz?
I was in, I remember being in middle school and hearing a high school jazz group come to my school for an assembly. And there were a couple of singers who took scat solos. And I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
And it kind of clicked with me immediately that they were making this stuff up. Like they were able to just make up whatever they wanted. So that resonated. And then I played the trumpet through middle school in the jazz band. And when I got to high school, the nice thing for me was that the only music program there was at my high school was a jazz program. So we started, learning things for the band and the choir and going to festivals, just like this one.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is that at festivals, you get to see other people just like you who are working on this kind of thing, and then you don't feel alone in it anymore, and you realize that it's a great big thing that happens everywhere. And that's kind of what pulled me in, because so many times these festivals would have amazing players that they bring in, the guest artists. I got to see Chick Corea and the Yellow Jackets when I was a kid, and Bobby Shue, and so many great players, Arturo Sandoval, and it just hit me. I just said, I want to know how to do this. Wow. This is amazing.
Yeah. A couple of those guys have been through our neck of the woods.
This is true.
Bobby Shue and Bob Mintzer from the Yellow Jackets.
Absolutely.
Making the route. So when did this love of music and jazz and performing actually when did you say, oh, this is a career rather than I love doing this? And because that's, I understand anyone artistically, that's a big step to take because it's not very certain where you're going.
That's true. I think kind of in college, I started gigging a lot with my friends and realizing that, you know, you can work for a short amount of time and earn a pretty good chunk of change.
Nice.
My husband's a lawyer, and sometimes we'll compare what we make per hour. but his work is a lot more regular than mine. So, but yeah, I think right out of college, I kind of knew that this was something that could potentially be lucrative if I were to get good at it.
Okay. And when did the effort on education, you know, working with students and teaching and later the YouTubes and the traveling, when did that happen?
I've kind of, you know, I've taught lessons on and off throughout my career and throughout my life. One thing to note is that I have four children. They're 18, 16, 14, and 11.
Well, obviously you weren't busy enough.
Yeah. So I've got such a great supportive husband. He always, he's always wonderful about taking care of the babies or kids, whatever age they are, and letting me go out and do whatever I wanted to do. But I actually didn't teach much. You know, I think that I spent a lot of years performing and practicing and listening and kind of cultivating these theories and just notions of how I think maybe I could communicate these things to people. And then a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, a friend of mine challenged me to make a YouTube channel. And at first, I kind of started doing performances on my YouTube channel, like, mm-hmm. you know, songs I thought people would like. And those videos didn't do so well. And then I thought, well, I'm trying to do a video a day. That's what I did when I started.
Okay.
And to any up-and-coming YouTubers, that's pretty much the key to getting started, is one video a day, which is killer. But I started running out of material, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of talk about the things that I think about. Mm-hmm. And so it turned into education.
Like,
I figured that one thing I always try to do is be able to put myself in somebody else's shoes. So to think from an outsider's perspective, what they already think about jazz, and then introduce them from that perspective. And I don't know, that's just what I try to do. And it's grown.
That part of the channel, that's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than just the performance.
Oh, yeah, that's...
You're close to a landmark, aren't you?
Yes, within the next few minutes, I think I'll hit 100,000 subscribers.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
That's
congratulations.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks.
So growing through the jazz, tell us a little bit about maybe some of the other jazz musicians that maybe influenced you or had an effect on your writing and your performance, because you play both piano and sing. Right, so that's two different types of influences you can have, that which I have always thought is kind of amazing, that I have trouble with the two hands playing, but you're going to sing at the same time.
Yeah, it's a third thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go.
Only drummers have the harder task of coordination.
And then the drummers who sing.
Oh my gosh.
You doing? Yeah.
Karen Carpenter, forget it.
Yeah. But who are some of the major influences for you in jazz?
One neat thing that happened to me was my husband and I moved to New York City right after we got married. We lived there from 1999 to 2001. And I had one baby then. And so I wasn't able to get away and do much performing. And the internet was brand new. So I saw this little website that was dedicated to Bill Evans, who's a wonderful piano player, I'm sure many of you know. And I just decided to put a little blurb on the chat room. Do you remember chat rooms?
Yes.
That said, I can transcribe Bill Evans music if anybody would like that. And the emails started to pour in. So transcribing means that I could listen to any Bill Evans recording and write down whatever it was that he played. Because those things aren't readily available. You know, he improvised them and nobody ever writes them down.
Right.
But that's how I made money for those years when I lived in New York City, was transcribing Bill Evans. So I actually have this folder of many, many Bill Evans transcriptions. And in that process, I'd like to think that a lot of Bill Evans sunk into me and influenced my piano playing. So he's probably number one influence.
That's a really cool story, because usually the answer is more about someone you met, someone who mentored you, but actually working, meeting them through their music so intimately, writing it down.
I wasn't old enough.
That's kind of cool.
To meet him.
Yeah, well, aren't many folks left who met him. Mm. What would you say to, you know, the kids who are playing at the festival, both, I don't know how close you might be working with the high schoolers, but the college students, about taking that next step? If you really like the music, how would you encourage them?
I think that they should take chances. That's always... it's been a rule of mine that if I see an opportunity, to try to grab it. Mm-hmm. So I remember myself as a high school student at one of these festivals. Bobby McFerrin was there to coach the kids, and my choir got picked to actually be coached by him just as a choir. And he asked for a volunteer, and I shot my hand up, you know. I
mean, without thinking.
Yeah, that's a chance, right? Like, so you have to kind of come into these festivals with that mentality. Anytime anybody asks for a volunteer, let it be you. And then I remember going out of that festival, finding another hero of mine named Michelle Weir. And I just approached her after her concert, and I asked her if she'd give me her address. And then when I would write something, I would send it to her in the snail mail, and she actually took the time to read the things I had written and write me back with, you know, her commentary on what I had done. So any idea that crosses your mind at the festival that might help you out in your future, I just say go for it. Yeah.
That's great. I think that's great. Just follow it and see what leads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So connecting that, the kids... to your kids, how old are they?
18, 16, 14, 11.
Oh my, okay, so
11.
They've gotten a lot of this philosophy and this perspective.
Well,
are they musicians?
Then I can slip it in.
Are they musicians?
they all are in their own right in some way or another.
Okay.
They're all actually named after my jazz heroes.
No way, can we hear?
Yeah.
Can you introduce us?
Miles, mm-hmm. and Ella, and Charlie, and Louie.
Oh, nice.
And my husband was a good sport.
Good for him. Is he into jazz?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good.
He calls himself a great appreciator.
Good. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds like a song title.
Oh. Hmm? Maybe you can write that for us.
That's okay. I come up with the title. I hand it off after that.
Okay.
Amy Nolte, thank you so much for stopping in today. I think the festival sounds like it's already off to a great start. Dr. Flaherty, thank you for coming in, and thanks for continuing the festival for so many years and bringing wonderful guests.
You bet.
The concerts again tonight is the jazz combo, the faculty combo.
That's right. Tonight, 7:30, and that's the faculty combo. And again, the Ishpeming High School Jazz Band will be opening that concert. And tomorrow night, the NMU Jazz Band and NMU Jazz Combo. And if you are coming, and we hope you are, keep in mind there's a theater performance as well, so parking will be tricky. But there is parking.
Thank you.
Just got to kind of think ahead about
Tarzan
that,
so. And jazz.
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, thanks so much again for joining us, and good luck on the festival.
Thanks,
Thank you.
This is Weekday on Public Radio 90, WNMU.